101.3 ESPN, I'm meteorologist Amanda Tebow, Local 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 44 degrees at 101.3 ESPN.
The only full-time FM sports station in Vermont, WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN.
Happy Monday, everybody out there in Burlington, Plattsburgh, and the rest of the Champlain Valley. And it's a Monday. I've actually gotten to enjoy some of that nice weather. I'm sure Rich is going to tell us how good it is. Red Sox news and notes from the weekend, and they're not all positive. Drew Pomeranz, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Stephen Wright all headed to the disabled list to start the season. Wright's also got that 15-game MLB-imposed suspension for domestic violence, and that doesn't start just because he's on the DL. He's going to have to get healthy and then get suspended. The Sox will take on the Cubs tonight at 6 o'clock. Good news for the Sox over the weekend. Christian Vasquez, the catcher, signs a 3-year contract extension. The Sox trade Devin Marrero to the Arizona Diamondbacks for cash considerations. Bad news for the Yankees. Greg Bird, who missed most of 2016 and most of 2017, well, he could start the year on the DL also possibly in 2018. He's seeing a foot specialist today. GM Brian Cashman and manager Aaron Boone hope to know more and hope to have him ready for opening day, but not necessarily possible. Kyrie Irving, he's out 3 to 6 weeks. Well, with that knee problem we've been talking about for, it seems like 3 to 6 weeks or 3 to 6 months in some cases. Kyrie limited to probably going to miss the first round of the playoffs at least. We'll get the latest on him from Stefania Bell of ESPN when she joins at 4:35. The Bruins won again last night in overtime. The Celtics take on the Suns tonight. We'll have the coverage for you on AM 960 The Zone. You're in the huddle on a Monday on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and we're always streaming, so take us anywhere on the 101.3 ESPN app.
It's The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon, you're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, all on account of four. Brady's here, Rich is here, Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy? What's happening?
Good. What a beautiful day.
Oh, I knew you were going to say it, so I beat you to the punch.
Wow.
That's the only reason I said it is because I was trying to be predictable.
I actually got to enjoy a little bit of it today. I guess this is when you get into work at 6:30 in the morning, they let you take like an hour lunch. So I took an hour lunch and actually got to enjoy the weather because I was in far too early today.
I couldn't believe it. I'm wandering up and down the halls in my usual 6 a.m. fog or whatever it was, and there he is.
I know. It was shocking.
Yeah, you weren't here.
Wow. Why were you here so early?
I had to help out someone at the station. Needed some things. I got to be here tomorrow at the same time.
Wow.
But hey, you know what?
What time did you get here?
6:30.
So you mean like when I've already been working for a whole hour?
You're already getting up. 2.5 hours into my shift.
Jeez. Come on now. I'm already up scouring the internet.
You took a nap.
I certainly did.
And probably went to the gym.
I did not go to the gym today. I'm a hurting pup. I'll go tomorrow.
Unproductive. What is
that?
Yeah,
it was. All I did was slept for 4 hours. So now I'll never be able to sleep tonight.
So
it's
you
the vicious cycle.
So you slept for 4 hours. Yeah. I only was home for 1 hour. So I've been here for.
All right, you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Friday, you don't have to do a full Champlain Valley game night. Okay, you happy? Are you happy? Maybe a segment or something like that. You see how nice I am, Rich? Do you see how nice I am?
I'm just a
sweetheart.
You're real nice. You know why You know why I was tired today, Brady?
Because
somebody texted me at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning. Saturday morning!
I just wanted to say hello, let you know I was up working for Monday's show.
I mean, I'm glad you care about me, but 6 a.m. he texts me,
how you
doing?
I was up at 6 a.m. I'm like,
what do you mean, how am I doing?
I'm like,
who
hey,
cares?
Rich, what's going on? 6 a.m. Let's start thinking about the show for Monday.
Now, didn't you feel maybe that a 6 a.m. text wasn't a good idea?
None whatsoever.
No, Arnie doesn't operate like
that. I don't operate like that. I send Brady texts in the morning, too. Yeah. When you guys say I'm not working, I'm up working. What do you think I'm doing, man? I'm constantly thinking about the show, making it as great as it could be right now.
Knowing you, you're probably showering. By the time we get to work, you've taken 2 showers already.
I took 2 showers today. I did. I took one in the morning, and then you know what? I was kind of groggy before I had to leave for work, so I took a quick one right before I had to leave for work. Get all freshen up. What? I'm working hard, man. That's working up a sweat.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, congratulations on your tournament challenge team.
Yeah. What am I I'm like dead last or
I
like
just
second
it
to
up.
Last?
You're almost literally dead last.
That is just unbelievable.
Yeah,
I should be fired for that.
You are please no. Yeah. You are 284th out of 288.
That's just unexplainable.
And what are you? Hot shots.
I'm way ahead of him. I'm 237th.
It's all guessing. Is what it is.
Of course it is. I took 2 minutes, pushed a bunch
of
buttons.
Where's Brady?
I couldn't find him.
What do you mean you couldn't find him?
I couldn't find
him. So that means I was so high up.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I'm in 78th.
Wow!
Not bad.
I'm in 78th.
How did
you cheat? Is your championship team still alive?
No, I lost it yesterday with Duke.
Okay.
How did you get so high up at 78? You were down at the bottom.
Because I was never down at the bottom.
Yeah, you were. You were like
I was
right
at 105th at one point.
I think you're cheating. No, you were.
How do you cheat?
Let me put my picks in now, too. I had Loyola going to the Final Four also.
Yeah. Jeez. I don't see a lot of Loyolas here on Champion.
And what's unbelievable is that the person in first place in our bracket challenge
had Loyola in the Final Four.
No, had Virginia winning it. They're still in first place, so and they had Virginia
done.
Winning it.
That just shows you how everybody just turned in like knucklehead. They were just knuckleheads. Everybody had a bogus bracket or something.
No, this person was great.
Oh, that's that one? I thought everybody else was just bad.
Patrick the Orange Man. Surprised he didn't pick Syracuse.
He had Loyola in the Elite Eight.
I was about to say, had the Elite Eight.
Good for him, man. How do you make that pick and have it actually happen?
You throw two balls and whichever one the dog brings back is the one you take.
So, yeah, no, they're doing well. I'm in 78, so far better than you guys.
Shocking.
You're
usually not good in basketball.
Yeah, right. I'll say this also. I had a great time on Friday night, so went back to Albany for the weekend.
Oh, yeah, how was that?
It was great. Went back to Albany for the weekend, and it was an interesting weekend. So, Friday night, my dad and I went out to the neighborhood bar that I used to go to all the time.
When you were 13 drinking, right?
Sure.
It was
a double-wide trailer on the side of the road. And it was one of those great community bars because you never knew what was going to happen. One night it was free pool night and the place was packed. One night it was biker night. One night there was a fight in the parking lot. One night the first time I was ever in there, this guy who was like 5'4" and really like knocked out cold at like 6 o'clock at night was telling me he went to UTEP and was best friends with Tim Hardaway growing up. Like, so just all like
it's
these
random stuff.
Like, I love it.
These are the stories from Andrea's Pub. So we said goodbye to Andrea's Pub on Friday. And then Saturday, Jess had gone home too, and we went to her friend's baby shower.
Wait. What's wrong with you?
Hold on. It was I was like, in my mind, I'm like, this is interesting. Couples don't usually do baby showers. Right. Generally, it's just the friends of the mother or the mother-to-be.
The guy runs away like his hair's on fire.
Exactly.
So this was a couple's baby shower.
No.
Open bar.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was like a wedding reception, except with a baby theme.
I don't care if it was open $100 bills for you. So, I'm not going. That's
but
all I'm saying.
What was really bad, bad in quotes, was that the dad was enjoying the open bar too much. So he's opening the presents, and he's just like, and he's playing with the toys as they're, he's just so out of it. He's playing with the toys as they're, as he's opening them, like with the baby toys. He's talking to his mother who's handing him, faster, 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 more presents.
That's when I started taking out the video camera on that one, huh? Yeah.
It's probably because he realized he's not going to have another drink for 3 years at least.
I've never been to a baby shower.
Never. Of course not. No, why would you?
I was just thinking about what he said. That I'm like, have I ever been to a baby shower?
That was the first one I'd ever been to.
I don't care. Free food, drinks, free gold. It doesn't make it.
I don't know. Open bar is two beautiful words.
I just think of that. That's just something I'm not into. It's like couples. What do they call that when you're doing the birthing thing?
Couples class. Lamaze class?
Yeah, something like that. Lamaze class. I think that's what it was called.
Yeah, I didn't do that either with Beth.
Really?
I said, yeah, you better go. You better go and take care of that.
Awful, I did.
Wow, now you're going to make me feel bad about myself 20-some years later? Thank you.
And then I got us a new listener because I don't know that I make friends with people, but I
yeah, usually you don't.
I can certainly talk to people, though. I don't know if they like me or not.
They
but
don't. You're a good guy.
I was hanging out with the mother-to-be's family because Jess was off talking to the mother-to-be. I'm like, well, I don't know anybody else. So I went over and talked to her family. family, one of which, her grandfather, lived in Essex Junction for 7 years.
Huh.
So we had an instant connection. And then her uncle and I made friends, and he's going to listen to us today. So I hope that Mark from the Round Table is listening in the New York City area.
Right. Wow. A lot of pressure.
Yeah, a lot of pressure. You're not playing basketball today?
Your wife says you went to the baby classes.
So you're just blatantly lying.
I don't even
radio.
Know what. Maybe she went with her boyfriend. I have no idea what baby classes
the father
she's
of
talking
the kid?
About. How am I going baby classes? I'm working in Los Angeles. What the hell is she talking about? I'm working like every day afternoon drive. What the hell baby classes am I going to?
I have no idea. It's just such a funny thought.
Unbelievable. You know, with him.
Okay, practice your breathing, honey.
I can just picture Arnie going.
I'll never forget it.
Get the hell out of here.
And when it came time for the baby, I just ran screaming down the hallway.
She goes, it was in Chicago, you idiot.
Oh, it was in Chicago. That's right. I got that. But the funny part is I think I was playing video games at one of those handheld devices. We were in Chicago, and it was like one of those nice rooms. It wasn't really like a hospital room.
You don't even know where your kid was born?
No, I knew it was in Chicago. I just got that mixed up there. Lots going on. It was Chicago, you idiot.
But anyway,
right, that's for my wife. That's on the top.
What a weekend, man. I'll tell you, it's great to be a Boston sports fan. Do you know Boston went 7-0 this weekend?
Are you including spring training?
7-0. Yeah.
Take the spring.
The Sox only gave up one run the whole weekend.
Take the spring training, went out of it, and just say they did a good job hosting the Sweet 16 and Elite 8. Don't give me spring training.
Okay, but you've got to give them some credit for that Bruins comeback Friday at Dallas, followed
nice.
By that unbelievable win of the year by the Celtics, the shorthanded Celtics at Portland. Down 12 in the fourth quarter in a place no one wins.
All right. Matter of fact, we do have a lot to get to. Let's get off and running. It's a Monday. Brady, what do we got coming up on the show? What's happening?
Well, first, I have to apologize to one of our listeners.
Yes, you do.
Uh-oh.
Jake from Williston.
Wow.
So
what'd you do to Jake?
We played basketball on Wednesday.
Yes.
You played too, Arnie.
Yes.
And
that's what you call it.
Jake from Williston was there.
Yes.
And
I usually school him.
Okay.
I backed off schooling him.
I have a brand new basketball, and I brought it. And somebody took it and used it, took it off my bag. So
yes.
I left it there because I had no idea that it was missing.
On purpose, because people don't like you.
Yeah. So somebody stole my ball. And I sent out a text message to people there. I was like, hey, someone grabbed my ball. Jake from Williston did. He brought it to my apartment for me yesterday. And I knew he was coming. And I didn't. I totally forgot. Like, I knew he was coming,
and
but I put
left.
My phone down. No, I was doing a fantasy baseball draft. And I got so deep into it that he waited outside my apartment for like 45 minutes.
What?
And I didn't.
What?
I knew he was coming. Like, I had
it
scheduled.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I didn't get my basketball yet.
Oh.
So he just stood there. It's like the Mormons. They try to come and sell their deal at my front door.
Like,
and I just
the
let
Mormons?
Them stand there for 45 minutes.
What are you
minutes.
Talking about? How is that like the Mormons? What are you talking about?
Because obviously someone wanted to get into his house, and he just spaced it.
He was standing outside the front of the apartment. So
like the Mormons do.
I felt really bad for Jake. As for what's
coming. It's not like he has nothing else to do. Isn't he like a financial advisor guy?
Yeah, and a father and a husband.
Yeah, well,
so he's got other
things. He had nothing better going on.
As far as what's coming up.
Baby shower.
As far as what's coming up this week, RJ's Thursday.
Yeah.
That's where we're going to be for opening
yes.
day.
Christmas, baby.
Oh, yes.
Can I finish the sentence?
Yes.
Opening day, RJ's, Sam Adams. We're going to be there. We got Sam Adams specials. The IPAs are on draft. We're giving away Red Sox tickets, so that's Thursday, opening day at RJ's, and this is breaking news. Starting next Tuesday, and every Tuesday, we're going to be doing trivia, 7:30 to 9:30 at the Burger Bar.
Nice.
Right next to St. Michael's, across from Fanny Allen.
Nice.
Right in Colchester, so that's where we're going to be. They've got half-price appetizers and beer specials. We'll keep telling you more about that. As for what's coming up today, the Patriots get a player in trouble. We don't see that a lot, but this is an interesting story. The Celtics, with a big win last night, also beating Sacramento. Stefania Bell of ESPN joins us at 4:35 and gets us updated on Kyrie and all the injuries to the Red Sox staff. We announce our newest contest at 5, Monday Mirages. But first, the Final Four is set. All three of our brackets are busted, but the Final Four is set.
Yeah, you know, I was talking a little bit about this yesterday with Loyola, of course, being in the Final Four. And Sister Jean and all that stuff going on out there. I don't think that's going to translate to ratings. By the way, the game's not on CBS. I believe it's on TBS. That's going to be the...
Really?
Yes. It's a rotating thing. I think it's the second time now.
Seems odd.
Well, that's part of the process about, you know, being a partner with CBS, that they get the championship game. This is the year they'll have the championship game, which I'm sure is fine with CBS. I don't think this equates to ratings. I'm just kind of curious. And if you want to get in the Tom Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, unless you're in Chicago or you're pulling, like you went to school there at Loyola, I don't think the average fan cares. I don't really think the whole underdog thing that people get into. I think they enjoy the first or second round, but I don't think that equates to ratings. I don't think you're going to see ratings through the, and it's going to be tough to tell because of TBS, but I don't think people are going to be happy having Loyola now in the Final Four.
I can't speak for everybody, but I can't wait to see what happens on the 31st with Loyola Chicago. That's the game I want to see. Although, obviously, 1-1 with Villanova and Kansas is going to be exciting. I mean, you saw that Duke game last night. Didn't you just get the feeling that was going to be like quadruple overtime the way it was going?
That was a great game. We talked a lot about this last Monday. We sat here and said, were all those upsets good? Because we love upsets early, but what does that leave us with late? I think the NCAA lucks out with what we could have had in the Final Four. I think you've got kind of the perfect balance. You do have the one lovable underdog, if you're like that. You've got the true blue blood in Kansas. You've got the another number one seed. If you have a bracket that's still alive, chances are you had Villanova winning it. So you got those people that are interested as well. And then you got Michigan, a team that has some history to them and at least has a big fan base, a big alumni following, and a big national following, more for football than basketball, but a lot of people know the Michigan brand. I think, given the options, if you weren't going to have Duke would have done really well.
Right.
You did about as good as you could do.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because Sean McManus, is that how you say his last name? The president of CBS was quoted as saying, damn, when Kentucky got eliminated. He goes, that really hurts us. Wouldn't it be funny to be able to watch a game with somebody like that? Because he knows what's going to drive ratings, what people are going to watch. And I know we really don't care about ratings. I'm just curious to see how many people. Look, I love that Loyola's in this. I think it's a great story. The whole 1963, they haven't been in the Final Four.
It's the George Mason thing.
And by the way, they're not such a small school. You know, they have like 17,000 students.
I saw your national listeners giving you grief about
that. Oh, totally
grief.
I mean, it was more than Duke. Duke's only got like, what, 8,000?
Right.
Yeah, but Notre
Dame. That was our power play on Friday,
exactly.
And now we forget.
Notre Dame only has like about 8,000 or 9,000.
Trying to get the phones to work.
So, you know, again, I'm not so sure they're the tiny school that everybody makes them out to be. But
well, basketball-wise, they are. I mean.
Yeah, but I love the whole underdog thing. I just don't think people are going to flock to watch this thing on a Saturday and Monday.
I think people are going to wait when it comes to Loyola Chicago. I think people are going to watch the beginning of that game, and I think everybody continues to wait as they get through layer after layer of them to just get absolutely destroyed by one of these teams. And I find, at least for me, I find it fascinating that just isn't happening.
I'm not interested in seeing them get destroyed by Michigan. At this rate, I'd rather see them get to the title game and see what they can do against the number one. But again, Kentucky would have been good for the CBS. Duke would have been good for CBS. But I think there's a good mishmash of everything here that can keep everybody involved. Again, lovable underdog, blue blood, team that you might have had in your brackets, and then Michigan, a team with a major following nationally, at least across its athletic department.
By the way, when you see Loyola do this, does it not, kind of make you think of Vermont a little bit? I mean, obviously they don't have the same amount of students, but it doesn't say, man, could they have this type of success ever? And of course they can. I mean, it's going to be tough. You have to have the right breakdowns, the right matchups, but I mean, that's what you get when you're in a better conference.
Yeah, I mean, why is it, I mean, this may be a tough question to answer, why is it that Loyola Chicago has been playing 9s, 11s, not 11s, they're the 11, but it just seems like they've had a much easier road to the Final Four.
It's been, matter of fact, I think it's been one of the easiest roads ever.
Is that the bracket, or is it because there's upsets all around in that bracket?
Yeah. Well, yes, the carnage around that bracket is what did it. Now, obviously, they came and beat Miami, who we thought was a little bit overvalued as the 6th seed beginning. Then you go and beat Tennessee, and then when you're supposed to play the 2 seed, you end up playing Nevada.
Right.
And
They won by their first 3 wins were by 4 points.
Yeah.
I mean that's unheard of.
That's quite a story.
It's a great story. I love it. But like I said, the people that are listening to us right now, if they don't have a team that they went to, that school or something, I don't think they care less about that Loyola Michigan game. Could care less.
I'd love to hear from people on that. I mean, who are you cheering for in the Final Four? To me, it's absolutely Loyola.
Of course.
I'm not cheering for anybody. I'm just rooting for good basketball at this point.
I want close games, too. That's why I love that Duke game yesterday. But yeah. I mean, I'm cheering for Loyola just because they're the 11th seed.
You know what,
Cinderella.
You said you just want to see good games, but I guarantee you – as the second half goes on, and if it's a close game and the crowd starts getting into it, and you know, you're watching the game, you're getting into it, you're like, oh, can you imagine Loyola getting all the way to the championship, little Loyola?
Yeah, I would. I'm not going into it with a preconceived notion that I need to see Loyola win this game. I'd like to see it be a close game. I'd like to see Loyola win so they can test their hand against Kansas and or Villanova, and then we get, as you said last week, the true David versus Goliath, which is what you're interested in.
Yeah, I mean, the bubble's got to burst here at some point, or does it? I mean, now you're at the point where you're one of the final four teams. Is the bubble going to burst, or is this actually going to happen?
By the way, all these upsets, and you know, maybe this is a little bit of a stretch. Isn't it good for all these upsets for the people here at University of Vermont? And the reason I bring that up is Odom at UMBC, a hot coach out there, the guy from Loyola of Chicago. What's his name again? Moser. By the way, I just heard. I did not know this. I didn't even look it up. Do you know how old that guy is?
52?
Yeah. He looks like he's 38. I'm like, that guy, I can't believe it.
Coaches aren't allowed to look like that.
He totally looks fantastic. I go, there's no way he's 52. He looks like he's in his 30s. But
Mike Krzyzewski still looks 50.
He doesn't.
Oh, come on. He looks exactly the same.
He doesn't look 71.
No, he doesn't, but he doesn't look like he's in his 50s. I don't know. Did he have a facelift or something? It looks like he got pulled back. But I'm just saying, now the guy from Loyola of Chicago is going to be the hot thing, the hot coach sought after, and maybe that kind of pushes Becker behind those guys, and maybe he doesn't leave because of that. At least that's my thinking on that.
So. Well, I think he's here for this year. I can't tell you I think Becker's going to stay here for 20 years, but I think he's here for this season.
I don't think – you know, last year we heard more rumors with his name after the season because they made the tournament and all that than we did this year. So
he had some offers last year too, and he's saying that he didn't this year.
Duquesne right. offered him the job last year. Quinnipiac was a possibility.
Right, right. That's some of them. But you don't leave for schools like that. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
4-minute football fix. We don't say this a lot, but a Patriot in trouble. What should the Pats do about it?
Wow, that's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
I miss football. You miss football. We all miss football. So let's talk some football. Training camp may be a ways away, but we'll help you through the wait. This is your 4-minute football fix on the Huddle 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Baseball starts Thursday. The weather's getting better. I feel better.
Are you excited for baseball yet?
No, I'm not excited for baseball yet.
At what point does it hit you that, oh, cool, baseball?
Oh,
Thursday.
August.
And then
maybe,
he's done.
Yeah, August pretty much is when it hits me. Like, yes, baseball is
going you're going to be a lot of fun to be around this summer when there's no other sport.
It's so funny. My partner on Sundays is saying, well, what are we going to do? Who's not watching the NCAA basketball championship? There's nothing else going on. I go, is there not baseball? I mean, now, you know, in the last couple of years, I don't think we had full-fledged baseball.
Last year, the national championship was on opening day.
Oh, so it was on opening day.
Yes.
And how many teams did we have on opening day? Was it a full slate? Or
It wasn't everybody, okay, but it was most teams.
I like that so much better, too. I think it's than the Cincinnati Reds with the one game and then taking like a whole day off and then getting a bunch after that. So I'm glad they're doing it this way. All right, Brady, let's get to the 4-minute football fix.
Wow.
The 4-minute football fix. The 4-minute football fix. Go ahead, Brady.
You are so annoying with that. The Patriots got some trouble over the weekend. Daron Harmon, their starting safety, one of their starting safeties, a defensive captain, and the guy who led their team in interceptions a year ago, arrested trying to bring in marijuana to Costa Rica. He was detained, he was arrested, and he was not allowed to enter the country. Look, I am no expert on drug weights, but 58 grams of marijuana and some other marijuana artifacts is what he tried to bring.
It's not like he didn't know he had it on him.
No, I mean,
we're not talking about a little tiny baggie here.
You know, I talked to somebody who actually is in the marijuana business, not somebody who sells it in the parking lot or something, but somebody who's in the marijuana business, and I'm told that based on what he had, it sounds solely for personal use. It wasn't enough to distribute. It also is possible that since he had so many different forms of it, you know, he had cannabis oils, things like that, could also be a pain reliever. That's speculation. But the amount that he had, at first, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is a lot. Then I was told, well, this is a personal use quotient, probably for a vacation only.
You put 4.3 grams. Is that's not right. It was like 43 grams,
No,
right?
It was 58 grams of marijuana.
Oh.
He also had some other...
Oh, okay.
He also had another artifact that had 4.3.
Can you Google this? Because I'm not up on my... Which countries can you get marijuana real easily? Can you not get marijuana in Costa Rica? I'm just wondering.
I'm guessing you probably can. Very easily.
That's what I'm guessing. So why do you have to bring it with you? Second of all, Brady, you said it was in a what? A can of...
Iced tea.
Is that one of those... Like Mike Vick fake water bottle things where it unscrews on the bottom? Is that what that is?
I have
is?
No idea.
I mean, how?
But I mean.
Because you know what I'm talking about?
But that's not the question.
I know that, but I'm just curious.
The guy is trying to smuggle, obviously, in 58 grams of marijuana inside a can of iced tea into Costa Rica. And how stupid can a human be?
So here's the question. I had somebody ask me, do you think the Patriots are going to cut Daron Harmon?
No.
Patriot way. Patriot way. Mm. Bill, get in line or get out. And we had some people calling for it on our Facebook page, too, saying cut him.
We actually had this conversation, Brady and I, at 6:45 this morning.
Yeah.
And my initial reaction was, see ya! And you kind of talked me off the cliff there about that way of thinking. And I don't know. He's saying all the right things. I think we just have to let the paint dry on this a little bit over the next couple of days and see what they decide
to do. I'm sure it's
a
big misunderstanding, and he didn't know it was in his bag.
You right, know, right. Where he goes, 58 grams.
Look. In 2018, where this thing is legal now, in how many states, I have no idea. I don't know what's the worst. That he is it because he tried to fly with it and he's leaving the country? Is that make it worse? Charges?
Because Costa Rica is trying to keep out, quote, undesirable people.
Right. And I can totally see them making an example of him, too. High-profile NFL football player. That's so stupid.
There was a movie. I think it was called Return to Paradise or something like that. Where these two guys from New York went to visit this guy in, I forget where it was, Taiwan or someplace. Mm-hmm. I forget the country. And they got caught with some pot.
I saw that movie.
Oh, yeah. And the other two went back to New York, and they were going to execute the guy unless the other two guys came back and all did seven-year sentences.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
One guy doesn't come back. The other one does. And they execute the guy anyway.
Harmon's not going
to... Are they going to execute Harmon? Because I hate to see them have that hole in the backfield.
That's pretty harsh.
Secondary.
Harmon's not going to get released, as I've said nine trillion times. How good you are dictates how big a distraction you can be. Third string punter maybe gets cut for this. Starting safety in the second year of a four-year deal, paying more than $10 million. He's not getting cut. This is the hypocrisy of sports. This is the hypocrisy of life. It's not a good look for Harmon. It's not a good look for the Patriots. But he's good enough to justify a blip on the radar. He led the team in interceptions last year. You need help in the secondary. You already lost Malcolm Butler. You can't afford to lose a starting safety now as well. For a team that is getting older, he's still 27, relatively young or in the prime of his career. You've already shelled out more than a dozen, more than a dozen million dollars to him in his career and in this deal. I don't see any way that he gets released. And let's not act like all we hear about is the Patriot way and, oh, they want to do things the right way and, oh, don't be late. Yeah, that applies, but a lot of guys are above the fold when it comes to discipline. Kevin Falk was arrested for marijuana. He's in the Patriots Hall of Fame. He wasn't cut. Julian Edelman was arrested in 2011, early in his career, for an incident at a bar. He wasn't cut, and he's one of them now. He's going to go down in Patriot history. Daron Harmon's not getting cut either.
You know what? You know what's crazy about this whole thing? It wasn't a big deal nationally. I mean, it barely got a blimp on the radar. If he didn't play for the Patriots and he played for Jacksonville, I think it would have even been lower on the radar. I thought something like this would have been, you know, top news, but like top five news. It never hit that high.
Yeah, but in this day and age, as states are legalizing it one after another, the fact that somebody gets caught with a bunch of marijuana is not really a huge story. The story is the fact that he was stupid enough to take it to Costa Rica.
He's also not going to... He's not even in the NFL's drug program. And because he's not in the drug program, he's not at a point where he's only going to get tested in training camp.
Right.
So even if he used any of it, he's not in a position now where he can get tested. So as far as I have figured out, he can't even face league suspension for this.
This is not even about him using it or anything like that. It's about him transporting 2 ounces to Costa Rica because he's, what, going on vacation or something. I mean, I can't make a big deal about this. I'm just shocked that they found it, to be honest with you.
I just can't imagine a professional football player going to a place where there's enough... I mean, there's
I don't know.
There's
I have
much
no idea.
Weed in places like Costa
I don't
Rica.
Know. I've never
it's
been
ridiculous.
There.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he decided to put that and try to basically and blatantly, not basically, blatantly smuggle it over as an NFL player, knowing the consequences, just seems unbelievable to me.
Well, I'm trying to figure out. So he can't be suspended for use of marijuana because he's not can't be tested for it now to test positive for it.
Right.
But I do wonder if there's a possibility under the personal conduct policy if he could get suspended for 4 games. That's what we're trying to figure out. Pro Football Talk says he could be a potential risk for NFL discipline. It is not a good look for the Patriots. It's not a good look for Harmon. But he's not leaving Foxborough over this.
The whole thing with the NFL and their drug policy is so bizarre. If you're a Denver Bronco and you're sitting out in your living room having a joint in legally in the state of Colorado, and yet if your owner of the Denver Broncos, your owner walks in and sees it, the league can suspend you for something that's completely legal.
Well, Rich, yes, it's legal, but it's not legal within your workplace, and it's the same thing that happens here. Coming up, what is it, in this summer, the state of Vermont is going to be legal to have marijuana. You can't smoke on the job, and neither can I. So it's the same. Your employer can put down rules.
I would like to see the first time somebody says, here's my doctor's note saying I have glaucoma and the pain is unbearable.
Yeah, doctor's note. Okay, well, doctor's. Now, the NFL does not allow medical marijuana yet either, but
right.
That's also one of the biggest battles that the Players Association is trying to fight. And I would like to see, as long as you know that it is doctor mandated, as long as you have the right, you know, the right prescription, the right quantity, I'd like to see that. I'd rather see guys using cannabis oil or medical marijuana than getting pumped full of painkillers like their Kentucky Derby horse.
That's addictive, and you know that's far worse for you than smoking. So we'll see how that plays out. But I saw that story and. I am surprised it wasn't a bigger deal than that. What did you want to get to the Celtics? Because they're on a little bit of a roll, no matter how many injuries there. That's crazy.
Unreal.
Huh?
Well, real quick, Terry Rozier, how important has this guy been? He had 8 threes last night.
Yeah.
He, in his last 22 games, 9 of which are starts, he's got at least 10 points in all of them. He's hit double figures in the last 22 games. And last night, he was the first player in NBA history to have 33 points, 8 3-pointers, 5 steals, and 5 rebounds in a game.
Yeah, his stat sheet was just unbelievable.
He's the first person in NBA history, is that what you
said? To have 33 points,
right?
8 3-pointers, 5 steals, and 5 rebounds in a game.
Getting it done at both ends of the floor.
Wow.
I mean, he was unbelievable. I was listening to that game last night, and he was the entire offense for a while. I mean, obviously, it was great to get Jaylen Brown back after that horrible fall that I thought was going to end his season. And he had 19, which sure helped. But it was all about Rozier. Think about Rozier, too, in this run. He's not taking a lot of shots. It's not like he's putting up, 25 points on 7 for 25 from the field. I mean, you're seeing 12 for 16s, 13 for 18s.
You know what's great about this is that even with the injuries, the team could have just said, "All right, we give up. Let's just coast to the end of the season and whatever happens, happens." But they're fighting hard. They're playing hard every night. Brad Stevens killing it. I mean, he's got that team going. I'm hard on Brad Stevens because of the playoff record. You know, how many, series has he won? But, I mean, he's doing a good job right now, no doubt about that.
Well, he's in his 5th year, and his winning percentage has increased in Boston every single year. You talk about everybody we've talked to about Brad Stevens. He puts players in the right situations to be successful. And while Rozier deserves a lot of credit for his shot-making ability and his playmaking ability, Brad Stevens putting his guys in the best positions to be successful, that can't be lost either.
I'll tell you, that Friday win, that was the win of the season. I know nobody paid any attention to it because it ended at 1 o'clock in the morning. But to come back down 12 at Portland, a team that loses about 5 home games a year with all the injuries that team has, was an unbelievable win.
If Arizona could pay guys $100,000 for a player, why can't we get – maybe we should get after Brad Stevens if he ever wanted to leave Boston or Steve Kerr. I would love that. Give me some of that.
Well, they've got Phoenix tonight, and the Suns are 19-55.
That's disgusting.
This is a trap game if I ever saw
absolutely
one.
Absolutely disgusting.
Third road game on the West Coast in the next over the last 4 nights. This is a trap one.
I still thought the win over Golden State – and the win over, I thought the win over Houston, where they came back at home.
Yeah. And the OKC win, the shot from, what's his face at the buzzer to win it last week. Morris.
Yeah, Morris. Yeah. I thought the Houston win was the win of the season.
Who said there was a problem on that play, too, afterwards? The NBA
traveled.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was traveled. I didn't see it. Did he travel, Brady? I didn't
attention. Well, if the NBA said he
I know
traveled,
that, but I mean, you know how I'm a traveling expert. I have to see it with my own eyes and look at it. I'll disagree with the NBA, but yeah, I didn't get to see that one in slow-mo, so I want to see how bad the traveling was. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
All the injuries to the Red Sox rotation, Kyrie Irving, and more. We'll talk about it with Stefania Bell, our ESPN fantasy sports expert, but also our injury expert.
All right, all that coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Back to the huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. It is a Monday and a busy Monday as well. Final Four is set. NFL free agency trade market still going on. All this stuff. Odell Beckham Jr. We got baseball starting this week. Let's go out to the phone line now and talk about some of the sports news with Stefania Bell. She's our ESPN fantasy sports insider. She joined us every week of the NFL season. Also an injury expert as well. Stefania, good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good as well. You're really good because you're swimming in Jimmy Garoppolo happiness for your 49ers.
I am, and of the three sports, so far he's a main guy that hasn't been hurt in the last week. So the Bay Area folks want to keep Jimmy Garoppolo in bubble wrap right now, given some of the injuries going on in other leagues.
Well, we'll talk about your 49ers and Richard Sherman in a little bit, but let's start here regionally. Celtics are making a push still for that 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, and they're going to do it without Kyrie Irving for the rest of the regular season and maybe longer. Minimally invasive surgery he had on Saturday. What's going on with Kyrie's knee?
Well, it was really a pretty straightforward procedure. They removed what's called a tension wire. You may remember he fractured his kneecap prior to the 2015-16 season. I think it was during the playoff time in the prior year, and had surgery to repair that patellar fracture, and they put wires in to sort of hold the fracture in place. That wire apparently was irritating the patellar tendon in his knee. He kept having soreness and was not resolving. So I think they decided to do what's a fairly routine procedure in terms of going in and removing the wire. And while it's minimally invasive and there's not anything structural going on with his knee, in fact, they got to take a look and they could verify, because they were in there with the scope, that the fracture from a few years ago was fully healed. His knee looks great. But you're still recovering from the fact that they did go in and do a surgical procedure. And it takes a few weeks to get the swelling down, let the wound heal, and get back into the shape you need to be to finish out the season.
Stefania, I'm not saying that Kyrie Irving is instantly going to turn into Derrick Rose's knees overnight, but should I be worried about the Celtics wanting to give him a 5-year deal? Is this tip of the iceberg type stuff, or is this isolated?
Well, I think this incident is isolated, and there was a time when we were worried. In fact, around the time when he had that patellar fracture, he'd had some other injury issues that particular year, and I think there was some concern about how he would be able to hold up. And then he's been pretty good in the last couple of years. We really haven't seen anything major, so this one doesn't worry me, and the fact that they addressed it quickly. I mean, talk to me again in 2 months, and let's see how he does when he comes back. If there's a problem that still persists, then we can talk about being concerned.
Stefania, let's move over to the Western Conference. A team that the Celtics are hoping to maybe meet in the NBA Finals is the Golden State Warriors. They're dealing with a lot of injuries in their own right, none bigger than the injuries to Steph Curry. It's his ankle. It's his lower leg. It seems to be a continued issue. What's going on with Steph?
Well, he's had ankle problems, and you saw perhaps how frustrated he was to come back finally. You know, he comes back, feels like he's healthy from the ankle, and then just an unfortunate set of circumstances. I mean, it's a friendly fire type injury, and he gets hurt. His knee, it almost looked like it hyperextended towards the inside a little bit, and he ended up with an MCL sprain that now is going to take him a while to recover. I mean, if you go back a few years, he had a similar injury around the same time. And the question every day was, is Steph going to be able to come back and make it for the playoffs? And he did come back, but he wasn't quite himself. You know, grade 2 is not insignificant. It certainly hurts you on your lateral movement. You know, any sharp cuts are harder. Straight ahead running will be easier than agility moves, and we've seen that he's been limping around. He just, you know, what can you say? It's just unfortunate. It was an unfortunate circumstance and bad timing, and it's the kind of thing that you could completely recover from. It's not surgical. Rehab and rest will do it. It's just the time of year makes it really tough.
Stefania Bell of ESPN, our fantasy sports expert, and well as our injury expert. She's here with us in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. All right, we mentioned your 49ers, and by all accounts, they've had a very good offseason. We're not even at the draft yet. One of their biggest acquisitions is Richard Sherman. He's coming off that torn Achilles. He thinks he can get back to the player that he was, but we've talked before about Achilles. Is he ever going to be that guy again?
Well, I don't know that he's, 21-year-old Richard Sherman, and certainly he's had procedures now on, but he had the Achilles rupture on the one side, and then he also had a procedure, I think, a proactive addressing a problem on the other side, if you will. Look, I like a guy who bets on himself, and Richard Sherman's not shy about saying what he thinks and in this case, essentially putting his money where his mouth is. And so he's incentivized to be able to meet those targets. Whether his body cooperates or not remains to be seen. But I've heard that he's doing very well. And we see guys coming back a little more quickly from Achilles repairs than they used to. One thing of note, Richard Sherman had his procedure done by Dr. Bob Anderson, who is a foot and ankle specialist who consults with players in multiple different sports, and he does a version of the repair called the mini open, so it's a much smaller incision, and that is a big deal because the wound heals quicker, you can start doing things more quickly in terms of your rehab. So I don't think Sherman's incorrect. Whether he can meet the targets he set for himself, it's hard to say. In the first season, guys will often say they don't feel as good as they do 1 year removed. But can he still be effective? I believe so. And the 49ers wouldn't have signed him if they were genuinely concerned.
You know, when we were setting up this interview, we were going back and forth on things we would talk about. This one wasn't on it, so I'm going to throw you just a slight curveball. All this talk today about Odell Beckham Jr., he's coming off that ankle fracture. It was pretty graphic. Am I supposed to assume that, you know, everything's okay because bones heal better than things like tendons and ligaments, or am I supposed to be worried about him losing a step when he comes back too?
It's not so much the bone healing, because that you expect to be taken care of when they do the surgery, they implant the hardware, and barring something unusual, you would expect the fracture to heal. It's really the stiffness you get in the ankle after that, because you have this extended period of immobilization. You have soft tissue injuries around the fracture. You have to get your mobility back, your strength, and then your agility and coordination. And obviously, a receiver like Beckham requires a lot of agility, a lot of spring to get up in the air, blind landings, which is a part of how this happened in the first place. So until you see it, and that comes in training camp. So to me, the bigger concern is if there's some kind of holdout, because now there's this talk about what's going to happen with this contract. If you don't see it, you won't know.
Stefania, let's move over to baseball. Opening day is this week, and all eyes on Red Sox, Yankees up here in the Northern New York, New England region. Scary moment for the Red Sox on Saturday. Chris Sale hit by a line drive in the hip. He thinks he's fine. It looks like he's going to be fine, but what exactly, bone contusion? We got any concern there?
Well, the worry is just how long would it sideline him, and the big thing was that he was able to throw long toss, supposed to be throwing a pretty aggressive bullpen early this week and is planning on making his start. Contusion is just a deep bruise and certainly can be painful, and depending on the size of it and exactly where it is, and if it were affecting, you know, if he got hit in a way that was affecting his abdominal muscles, his obliques, you know, things that attach down low there, and he wasn't able to throw, if he's not able to throw with intensity, then maybe things will change. And until he tests it like that, we won't really know. But this is more likely that he got away with one.
Yeah.
He was just lucky that it hit him where it did. And it, as of now, appears that he'll be able to make his opening day start.
Red Sox starter who doesn't appear as fortunate as Drew Pomeranz. Lefty won 17 games last year. He's going to be on the shelf by all accounts to start the season with that forearm tightness. Now, he has pitched in rehab. He's just not ready to make major league workloads yet. But when I hear forearm tightness, I just instantly think Tommy John is coming next. How worrisome are those two words for you?
Well, there's varying levels of concern when you see a forearm issue in the spring. And you're right. It's the flexor, and we know he had a flexor strain, and the flexor muscle group is right there in the same region as the ligament that's involved when you have a Tommy John injury. And sometimes we do see guys with a flexor injury, and then later we hear about an ulnar collateral ligament injury. I mean, the tissues are both being stressed on that side of the forearm. But I would also say it's very common for pitchers to feel some forearm tightness in the spring. So there are a number of these that it crops up, they complain about some forearm tightness, the team backs them off, and that's the wise thing to do. I actually think the Red Sox are being really smart by taking it slowly, knowing that it's much better to bring him in to start the season a little bit later if it means you get him for the entire season. And part of, you mentioned it yourself, part of why he's going to open the season on the DL, or we expect him to, is he just needs to stretch out more. So, you know, as far as the forearm, he said it actually felt really good within a few days. He was already starting to work his way back. But the team, not wanting to push him too quickly, wants to make sure that he ramps up the activity in a way that they're comfortable with before they bring him back for real.
Stefania, we'll get you out of here on this question. Another small curveball. We were talking about speculating. David Price is in a potential opt-out year of his contract. And I asked Buster Olney this, and I said, well, if he goes 20-5, does he opt out of the Red Sox deal? And he said, no way. He's got, you know, a partially torn elbow, same as Masahiro Tanaka has in New York. And they elected not to go through surgical procedures to fix that. Are we seeing that more where guys are pitching through elbow problems rather than immediately going under the knife?
I think perhaps we are. I don't know numbers. It's just a feel that I have. Yeah. I do think the sense is that we should exhaust all options before automatically presuming surgery. But behind that, there are some different scenarios. I think not all ulnar collateral ligament injuries are alike. And part of it depends on where the issue is. So if somebody has a tear in the ligament and it's in a particular location that's more amenable to healing, those players are going to be encouraged, if they feel it, to go with a rehab program because there's a good chance that it will heal. In other cases where you have extensive wear and tear on the ligament, which is the case for David Price, and not surprising when you consider how many seasons and high volume seasons he's pitched, he was a guy who, at his age and at his point in his career, he dictated this. He said, I don't want to have surgery. And you remember last year in the spring, it didn't look good.
Yeah.
He was having a lot of pain. He went for consultation. And I think when you have a pitcher who's dealt with issues in the spring, sort of had a feel of what was happening, and he said, yes, it was worse when it happened, but as he started to feel better, he had a PRP injection, he started to come around. He said, let me rehab this and see how I do. Because for him, at that point, if he wasn't able to return, then he's no worse off for having tried.
Right.
Because ultimately it would require Tommy John surgery. But you know, when you're getting older as a pitcher, you know, he's 32 now, you're moving up, he's a high-volume guy, there's no guarantee that you automatically come back and are able to do exactly what you did before. So in his case, I think it was a wise move, and, good for him for saying, I want to give this a shot. And I've watched him this spring. I was actually in Fort Myers when he pitched a game, and he looks really good. And it doesn't mean that his elbow is fully healthy. And I hear people saying, oh, he's healthy. Well, the ligament is still that ligament that had the mileage and the wear and tear on it. And so whatever he's doing in the presence of a ligament that's not 100%. But he's still functional, and that's all anyone cares about. And I agree with Buster. I mean, you got a good spot here.
Yeah.
And this team knows what you have and what you're dealing with, and other teams aren't necessarily going to want to throw down a lot of cash and take a big risk on someone who, at any day, that could be their last pitch.
Red Sox counting on Price for a big year. Stefania Bell, one of the best, and I appreciate you letting me throw you the curveballs there because I just got a couple.
Yes, baseball season.
Yeah, The mind is always working. Stefania, and by the way, you had good luck at fantasy football. I didn't. I'm in 3 fantasy baseball leagues, so here's hopefully good luck for me, and if you're playing, good luck to you also.
Well, I'm in 2 big time leagues, and I went heavy on Madison Bumgarner.
Oh, no.
So you can see how my season's off to a terrific start, not only for me in terms of my fantasy, but my real-life team, the San Francisco Giants. So, yes, I'm a little sad.
Stefania, we'll talk to you again, hopefully with some better luck for your teams.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, there you go. Stefania Bell, love listening to her. Always like listening about what's going on in the world of injuries and stuff like that.
Happy to hear that Kyrie's injury is not something to be completely worried about yet. I mean, that this one is isolated. I wonder, as a pessimist, what else is coming down the line. But she said this procedure is not indicative of future injury.
What was the thing they pulled out of there?
A tension wire.
A tension wire in a guy's knee.
Yeah.
I remember reading that and going, well, no wonder it hurts. You got a bleeping tension wire in your knee.
You know what I wanted to ask you is, because you guys were talking about Steph Curry earlier, and I don't think about this about Bumgarner. I think he's just an unlucky person with the injuries. Steph Curry, though, is he injury prone? Is it the shoes? I mean, you know, sometimes it might be the shoes when you start doing stuff with your ankles and you're twisting it, and that leads to knee problems and that leads to other problems out there. Or maybe it's just the way he plays. If he never played another game because of injuries, he's still a Hall of Famer, I'm assuming, even if he just never.
He's remember, it's a basketball Hall of Fame, not an NBA Hall of Fame.
Well, whatever. He's a Hall of, he's not a Hall of Famer?
I don't know if he's got
game?
A big enough resume.
Terrell Davis, in the NFL, six years?
Terrell
Brady,
Davis.
Brady, does he bring this on himself, or is it just bad luck with him?
Well, his teammate fell on him.
Well, I think the slight build doesn't help him.
No,
I mean, LeBron is certainly more physical than he is. It can take more impact. I don't think that helps him.
So this will go on the rest of his career then, I believe. Same thing with Kyrie. Well, Kyrie, we already know it's going to go on the rest of his career.
Yes, but I do think Steph can transition purely to a standstill jump shooter rather than a rather than a slasher who's going to go to the hoop. And if he's 36, he can just stand on the perimeter and let somebody else handle the ball.
I was about to say he's the next Ray Allen in about, 3, 4, 5 years?
He's the next Arnie Spanier.
Yeah, wow, look at that. Wow, you're not even playing tonight.
You should take that, Arnie.
Yes, I'll take that and run. All right, though, we're going to come up. By the way, what's coming up on Champlain Valley game night tonight?
We're going to talk about Odell Beckham Jr. We'll talk about OBJ soon on this show, but I'll tell you a trade scenario I think makes a lot of sense. Well, at least on the offering side for the Giants.
All right. Brady will have a Sports Center update coming up at the top of the hour. We'll start off hour two next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Step one, watch sports. Step two, talk about sports. Now, back to the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, it's right ankle injury for Greg Bird. Right ankle.
Oh, wow. All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Wow. So much to get to, hour two of the show. We're about 20 minutes away from Monday Mirages. Real quick, I'm getting a lot of grief nationally because yesterday on my national show I said that anybody that grows a beard, it's because they're ugly. And ugly people grow beards. I guess people took exception to that.
Just blurted that out to a quarter billion people.
We were talking about James Harden. And
that thing is hideous.
And my partner's like, you know, have you ever grown a beard? I said, no, I'm good looking. You know, that's for people that are ugly.
You were born beautiful, Arnie. You don't need things to cover your face.
And people, of course, you know, I'm getting texts like this, Arnie, I have a beard and mustache. I am ugly but proud of it. So yeah.
I mean, I've always said the reason I have a beard is to cover up my three chins.
I got all kinds of tweets on that
You're
one.
You're just like, remember the Seinfeld episode where George goes, it's like attractive women never get parking tickets. And the woman next to him goes, my sister just got a ticket last week. Are you saying she's not attractive? And so he was caught in a web of lies and a web of trouble right there.
It was funny. I was getting it like crazy because I said, oh, just ugly people have beards. So leave me out of
this. Wow, I have a beard.
Depends on the day of the week. Okay. I mean, you sort of have a beard today.
Proves my point. Yeah. All right, what's coming up this hour, Brady? What do we get to?
Well, we'll get to plenty of stuff. First off, we'll tell you that we'll be at RJ's on Thursday.
Yes.
We'll be downtown Burlington. Thursday is opening day. We are off the air. Red Sox are taking on the Rays. We'll have the coverage for you starting at 3:15 in that one, Sox and Rays. But we'll be at RJ's watching.
Half-price burgers, 50 cents wings.
Yep, that's Thursday at RJ's every week. We'll also have Sam Adams specials as well. They'll have special IPAs on draft, and we'll be giving away Red Sox tickets.
And Sale's still going to be the starter, correct?
Chris Sale is still going to be
even
the starter.
Even though the ball just barely nipped him, just barely touched him. And Oh, stop it. It wasn't that. Oh, watching. Stop it. Come on. It wasn't that bad. Stop it.
How about I hit you with a line drive?
I knew he was going to say that. I knew he was going to say that.
And you him on the basketball court. See how he feels.
Deal about that. Go ahead.
We'll talk about Odell Beckham Jr. in about 3 minutes. But first, let's announce our big contest for the next couple of weeks.
What? I didn't even know we were having a contest. You guys never even told me we're doing a contest.
Yeah, I don't tell you these
things.
Wow. I thought you were the boss.
I am the boss. Did I approve this?
You think the boss might know about this
Did you just put something under my nose and I just signed it like I always do everything else there? I don't know. What's going on here?
Well, baseball season is starting, and we want to send you to see the Red Sox in style. We've got seats. We've got 10 days worth of seats, okay?
Really?
10
wow.
days
the boss.
Worth of seats. And they're
about 9 days, and I take one.
And they're primo seats right behind the third, you know, right, pretty much right behind the third base dugout, Rich. You know these seats.
Oh, the visitor's dugout. It's a perfect spot.
They are great. So here's what we're doing, okay? Every morning, you're going to listen to Golic and Wingo. And what we're going to do is we're going to tell you what times to listen to Golic and Wingo, and you're going to get the Golic and Wingo word of the day. Just say, you know, we'll tell you in the huddle, hey, listen tomorrow at 6:55 or whatever.
Okay.
And you'll find the Golic and Wingo word of the day. And then you'll listen to Golic and Wingo tomorrow, and at 6:55, right in that neighborhood, you'll hear a promo that says, today's Golic and Wingo word of the day is, and let's just say, I don't know.
Arnie,
whatever. And then you'll come back in the huddle that afternoon, and we'll say, all right, who knows the Golic and Wingo winning word of the day? We'll take caller number 5. And we'll get a pair of tickets to you. So we'll do 2 ticket giveaways per day. We have enough tickets to give away 2 pairs of tickets per day. So we'll give away 1 set in the 4 o'clock hour, 1 set in the 5 o'clock hour, and the Golic and Wingo word of the day will apply for both.
Man, that's sweet.
That's sweet. I got to go to a game this year. I've not been to a Red Sox game ever. So
well, those are the best seats. I know where those are because we've sat in the boss's box seats before. Oh. Those are pretty impressive. But you're actually facing the field.
Yeah.
One of the few places at Fenway you actually are facing the field.
You know what sucks is the Angels don't come till the end of June, so you won't get to see Ohtani.
Oh,
he'll probably be sent down the AAA.
Bummer. Single A by then. He'll be at Rancho Cucamonga.
Did they not play the Mets again this year? Did they not play the Mets? What is up with that? Can't I see a good Red Sox-Mets game for crying out loud?
I have no idea.
They do play the Mets in September, I think.
In Boston?
No.
Well, when September comes around.
When the Mets are already 48 games.
When you're
out.
Seeing...
We're eliminated by
when
that.
You're seeing the Binghamton Mets elevated from Double-A.
I need to see the Mets in April while we still have a chance. While we got some hope. Otherwise, forget about that. I'm done with that.
So, well, that's awesome. Good.
So we're going to tell you right now that you need to listen to Golic and Wingo tomorrow at 7:55 and at 8:55. We'll give you that word of the day at both of those times.
Okay, so let me write this down since that's my job.
Yes.
Yes, I'll be
Rich,
the one here.
You'll have an email with all the details.
Okay. All right.
I took care of that, Rich. You'll have an email.
Yeah, I'm sure.
7:55 and 8:55 tomorrow. Listen for the Golic and Wingo word of the day. Then call back into the huddle with that word of the day. We'll do 1 in the 4 o'clock hour, 1 in the 5 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Very good.
And
to that.
If you're caller number 5, you'll get a pair of Sox tickets. We've got a bunch of different games. We've got weekend games. We've got Yankees-Red Sox games at Fenway in that first Yankees-Red Sox series of the year. So we got some really good tickets for the month of April. You want to see the Sox, and we want to send you.
All right. Very good. Looking forward to that. All right, Brady, I know you wanted to get to Odell Beckham Jr. I wanted to talk about this. This man, was I right on about this one for crying out loud?
It happens.
It does. You throw enough stuff against the wall, something sticks, and this one stuck. Tell everybody the latest about Odell Beckham Jr.
Well, Odell Beckham Jr. is threatening to hold out, essentially. He is saying that he's not going to take the field without a new contract in 2018, whether that's with the Giants or anybody else. This comes on the heels of John Mara, Giants owner, saying yesterday that no player is untouchable in trade discussions. Beckham's response to that is saying, I'm just not going to play without a new deal. And that's kind of where we're at now. I think we're headed for a nasty staring contest between Odell Beckham Jr. and Dave Gettleman, the new Giants GM.
I could be wrong. The first thing that comes to my mind is, and look, I'm not an agent, but usually when you say something like this, it's through your agent when you make threats like this. I got a feeling that the agent said, you better not say that.
This has not even been said directly by Beckham. This is Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network who has come out and said, basically, I am hearing Beckham won't play.
I don't know if he's got that guts, because I got to be honest with you, that's not the way to handle an owner that comes out and says something like that. The way to handle the owner like that is have a season of your life and then say, you know what, yeah, I'm not going to sign with you. I'll go ahead and sign with somebody else. That's getting the last laugh. You want to take the most money, go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, is he in a real position of power right now? I mean, he's got one more year left on his deal. He can't hold out now, can he?
Oh, yeah, he can hold out.
Well, Arnie thinks that every player has power no matter what. He wanted Jimmy Garoppolo to hold out last year.
He's doing exactly what Garoppolo should have done. That's what I would have done.
Beckham is in a position of power in that, yes, I think he could force a hand on a trade. I don't think that this is going to end harmoniously.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to end the way that it probably should. I think we're going to see a staring contest between Beckham and Gettleman, and historically, Gettleman has won those staring contests. Josh Norman didn't stay in Carolina when he deserved the big money. He wasn't going to give big money to Thomas Davis and Greg Olsen, and they fired him as a result of that. But they just hired Gettleman. They're going to have his back early on here. This is not going to be where he gets forced out over this Beckham thing. They're going to have his back on this. I think we're headed for a stare down. I don't think it's going
to
be pretty.
Stephen A. kept calling Gettleman crazy enough to trade him. He kept on his show today. He says Gettleman's crazy enough, and he's going to take a hard line. He's not a guy that ever budges in situations
like this. I've been saying
like
day
this.
One to get rid of him. You're in a rebuilding process. That's what happens when you got rid of JPP. There's no reason to keep this guy around. With the free agency looming, you're going to have to pay this guy a king's ransom, and I'm not giving this guy a king's ransom with his attitude. You're going to have to go ahead and replace Eli Manning sooner than you think. You take Josh Rosen with the number 2 pick, and then you trade away Odell Beckham Jr. See what you get. If you get back up there high enough, maybe you get somebody else from the offensive line. Maybe Saquon Barkley falls in your lap. I don't know. But you've got to start the rebuilding process, and Odell is not part of the rebuilding process.
Arnie, you are so beautifully confusing.
Thank
because
you.
Everything you say, every plan you have is counterintuitive to something you said previously.
I've been saying that about Odell. Get rid of him day one.
But you want the Red Sox to go all in and trade whatever prospect they have to go and get some established talent.
When they had a chance to win a World Series.
You're saying you want the Giants to go and trade an established talent for unproven draft picks in the seventh round.
I'll make this clear. Eli Manning's done, right? There's not going to be any playoffs. There's not going to be any division wins. Those days are over. The next wave of kids are coming in. That's Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen. I think you know where I stand on those guys. And Rosen's going to be the number 2 pick in the draft, whether you like it or not. He's going to be the next quarterback for the New York Giants. And he doesn't need Odell Beckham Jr. and his cancer backside causing troubles for him. The Giants will rebuild. They'll have a great quarterback in Josh Rosen. They'll rebuild through the other draft. That's the only way to do it when you got a quarterback going out. Eli's done.
I think you got to have a little bit of spirit of compromise, and I don't know if Odell Beckham Jr. will ever be. I don't know that he knows what the word compromise
means.
Clearly he says, I'm the best, and I want the most money. But, I mean, the stats don't lie with this guy. At least try to keep him in a Giants uniform. I was reading the other day, they score 23 points a game, the Giants do, when he plays. The full game. They score 13 without him.
I mean,
one guy make 10-point difference in a game over a season? I mean, in every game of a season? That's an enormous amount.
You can't let this linger on. The reason why this is going to get ugly and the reason why it needs to get resolved sooner or later is one of them is going to have to – one side here, and it's going to be Gettleman, it's going to have to make a decision right away. Because you can't afford to let Beckham hold out. Right. For financial interest, it's in Beckham's best interest financially at $8 million a year to hold out and say, look, I don't want to get hurt in the preseason. I don't want to get hurt in minicamp. I'm just not going to show up. And if that's how he plays it, that's awful for the Giants. You're trying to establish a new culture. You might have a new quarterback that you want him to get some reps with. You've got an aging quarterback in Eli. You'd like them to be on the same page in Eli's final seasons. You're trying to establish new attitude, new playbook under a new head coach in Pat Shurmur. If Beckham's there, he needs to be a team leader. But Gettleman's either going to have to cave early and give him his extension, which he probably we don't know if he's healthy enough to even earn yet, or he's going to have to make the decision quick and trade him so he can get draft picks that are going to help this year.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. He can't wait around until the season approaches with Beckham. He's got to do it. It's got to happen yesterday. We're less than a month away from the draft, and I would have to imagine that anything involving a trade of Beckham involves a whole lot of very valuable draft picks for the football Giants.
How many teams you think would be lining up around the block to take a trade for Odell Beckham Jr. when he's got 1 year left and you've got to pay him higher than Antonio Brown after next year? How many teams you think right now are going to line up and want this guy because you know and pay him the money that he wants? I bet you there won't even be six teams that want to go ahead and deal with this guy and then pay him a king's ransom after that.
Well, I think if the Giants meet somewhere with a compromise, and I bet they won't when it comes to Beckham because he's their most valuable piece right now, but I don't know.
Why don't the Patriots go for him, right? Forget about they're short on money. What the Tom Brady would not love this guy,
no,
or what?
My point being, the possibility of a one-year rental. And then, get him on the terms right now, but I just don't think the Giants would – I don't think they're going to let him go under a situation like that.
Well, the Rams are reportedly interested in trading for him, and the Rams are going all in.
I know.
They smell blood in the water. They know they won the division already. They see the Seahawks are on the way down. They see Jimmy G is on the way up, but not quite ready yet, probably, to beat the Rams. They're going after Ndamukong Suh. They went for Marcus Peters. They got Aqib Talib. Now they want Beckham. They are all in on trying to win the Super Bowl in 2018. They're interested. I don't know that the Giants would do this, but I think that Cleveland should call the Giants right away and offer them pick number 33, which is the first pick of the second round, and the first pick of the fourth round. And I know people are going to balk and say Beckham's worth way more than a second and a fourth, but in a contract year coming off major injury, if the Browns give up 33, then the Giants have 33 and 34 back-to-back. Then they get the first pick of the fourth round, too. Marcus Peters was an all-pro player in Kansas City, a multiple-time Pro Bowler. He went for a second and a fourth. Beckham's not worth that much more than that.
Beckham in Cleveland, there's a match made in hell.
What's wrong? Beckham in the Patriots, that's not the Belichick way? Tom Brady wouldn't want him? By the way, Belichick has no problem giving up a pick just to rent him for a year. He's got no problem doing that.
The Patriots don't have – I mean, the Patriots are picking – at the very back end of rounds, the Browns are picking at the very front end of rounds.
So, well, what they got the San Francisco pick. What was that?
That's like 40.
It got bad fast once Garoppolo started winning.
So the Patriots have...
the end of the first round and the beginning of the second round. I'm sure they would take that in a heartbeat.
31 and 40, yeah. But I don't think the... I'm saying a second and a fourth. I don't think the Patriots are giving up a first and a second.
No, I'm just wondering, even if they got away just offering the second pick, if it would work out with him and Tom Brady. I mean, could you imagine that? You see, now if you really want to go for the gusto and you want to go all in, there's your guy. There's your wide receiver for Tom Brady.
You went and got Cooks. I don't think the Patriots have the resources.
Yeah, which one would you rather have now, Cooks or Odell Beckham Jr., huh? Which
one last year, Cooks, since Beckham didn't play most of the season. Well, but I get
true.
Your point.
Yeah, that's for certainly sure about that. So, yeah, I think the Giants, if I'm the Giants, I get rid of him ASAP. I say goodbye. Chris, the Mets fan on the Tough Retire text line, says flip-flop Arnie. No, I'm not flipping and I'm flopping. Look, certain things you do different in baseball than you do in football. Certain things you do different with one team than the other. The writing's on the wall for the Giants. Do I wish that they could compete for a Super Bowl this year? Damn right I do. But I know the writing's on the wall. I don't care if they sign Solder or what with the offensive line. You got to get yourself a new running back. Who did they sign against Stewart? Is that guy like 110? I didn't even know he's still in the NFL. Please.
Get some mileage on those knees.
Even if he was 25 years old, I wouldn't be excited about that. It's time to go ahead and get Josh Rosen in there and start the future, because Rosen's the future.
And Jeff in Plattsburgh says trade Odell to the bright lights of Green Bay. Be interesting with Aaron Rodgers.
Wow, would he not be an interesting matchup there?
Yep, that'd be some serious numbers right there.
You're damn right. What did Alex and Moncton write in, Brady? I can't see that.
Beckham always says he wants to be the greatest ever. Do you ever hear T.O. or Chad Johnson in the conversation for greatest ever? Nope, because character means a lot. He just won't grow up. It's like Johnny Manziel, you need to wake up.
Well, you know, they have an Antonio Brown does that all the time. He says he's the greatest. He wanted to get, remember, he said he wanted to be paid like I'm the best wide receiver ever. And that's what he got. He got the money there. I mean, that's part of the whole gimmick. Is it not there, Brady?
It's a diva position. And Brown had some distractions. I mean, we're not talking about, alleged drug use videos and things like that with Brown, but there was the Facebook Live in the locker
room. That's horrible, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the Facebook Live in the locker room, the constant personal foul celebration, sexual innuendo celebrations that got him in trouble and cost the Steelers a lot of yards. So Brown didn't have a spotless resume either, and they gave him the money.
They gave him the money, because Le'Veon Bell's not going to get the money. I tell him to take a hike. Don't let the door hit your backside on the way out. I told you he wasn't going to get the money also. It's funny. Everything I told you that was going to happen with the Giants is exactly what's going on. exactly what they're doing. They're gutting, they're getting rid of everybody. And I promise you, they'll get rid of Odell Beckham. Remember, I brought this up a week ago, even longer than that. I said, watch, you see, they don't need this guy. He's a cancer, and they're tired of it. It's time for a new generation for the Giants. And that new generation is not Eli Manning. This is Eli Manning's swan song. This is, and you know what? If they had the guts, they would have traded him to like Arizona or Buffalo for 1 year and let them use him for 1 year and see what he could do there. If they had the guts, they would never do that.
When you say swan song, do you think this is it for Eli Manning as far as this year?
Yeah,
I mean, is he going to go out there and be a half effective quarterback?
Not only is it, I think, Eli Manning's swan song, I think it's Bill Belichick's final year too. I think he's done with it also. I don't think he wants the headache. And if the Patriots have a bad year, I think he's just going to throw his hands up. Is Belichick more likely to leave after a bad year or after a Super Bowl
year? Bad
year
meaning 11-5.
Well, so. No. Is he going to say, I can't go out like this? I've got to come back for another year if they were 8-8 or something like that?
I doubt it.
I don't think it. I think this is his final year. I think he's tired of the whole thing.
Brady, are you writing all this down? He's on a roll.
We'll say this. You had mentioned the points per game with Odell and without Odell.
Yeah.
Well, Eli Manning's numbers without Odell, 66 touchdowns, 29 picks with him, 14-14 without him.
Yeah.
He takes more sacks without Odell Beckham Jr. His quarterback rating is 22 points lower, or his quarterback rating is 16 points lower, and his passer rating is 22 points lower without Beckham. Yeah.
And the Giants said, we don't care anyway, we're benching you. And we're stopping that streak, so... Yeah,
that was just a one-shot deal.
No, I mean, that was supposed to be for the rest of the year. They got too much backlash.
That was great. That was Ben McAdoo the Great, and he's not there anymore.
Yeah, they took a big, I don't know, he didn't call him the shots on that one. I think it was Mar from that. Brady, what's coming up next?
Monday Mirage's five stories in sports, what's real and what's fake.
That's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow. Phone lines are now open. Get ready to call in at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN. Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. It's a busy Monday, of course, the start of baseball season on Thursday. Red Sox-Tampa, we are off the air, but we'll be watching the game. Come on out to RJ's. Going to be a lot of fun, of course. First pitch, 4:05.
Yep, Sam Adams will have Sam Adams. I was going to say Sam Adams will be there.
You never know. A guy could be named Sam Adams.
There's a lot of Samuel Adams around.
We'll be there with plenty of swag to give away. Red Sox tickets we'll give away. We'll have Sam Adams specials, too. It'll be fun.
Finally, the start of baseball season. I don't remember who the Mets are even opening up against.
Cardinals.
Oh, that's right. There you go.
So, and the Yankees are in Toronto.
There
you go. 0-1 for the Mets, and we'll be mathematically eliminated.
We're all leading up to Mariners-Cleveland at 10:05.
Ooh.
Wow.
Can't wait for that one. Yeah,
Hernandez is going to become one of only six pitchers in history to start 10 consecutive opening days.
Sounds like Corey Kluber's got a two-hit shutout ahead of him.
Nope.
Just what you want to face.
Mariners are going to pound him. I hear Kluber's a bit of a slow start.
He is, actually.
All right. Now it's time for Monday Mirages. Monday Mirage.
There it is.
Why don't you come press the button?
Well, it's not that tough.
You imagine.
It's not that tough.
Wow. Following Dead Air is brought to you by Arnie Spanier.
Yes.
This is why people.
We had a guy named Dead Air Dave on one of our music stations.
Is that because he just forgot he didn't know how to play buttons?
Totally dead. And I said, hey, you've got Dead Air. And he would just mosey on off to press another button. I go, can you move a little faster with the Dead Air?
Is that when you were the boss of somebody else?
Yes, I was the boss of like a cluster.
I didn't mean to hit the pause button in the middle of Stairway to Heaven.
Question one, Monday Mirage is here on The Huddle. There's a couple of big events happening this week. We've got Bruins Lightning and a great matchup in the NHL. We've got opening day of baseball on Thursday, and we've got the Final Four. So you are most excited for the Final Four this week, real or Mirage?
That's real. I am most excited about the Final Four and not crazy about the four teams that are in it. Would have liked to see more Blue Bloods, though I am pulling for Loyola to win it. I do like the underdog thing there. I want to see the Bruins, though. What are they, two behind Lightning? That's incredible.
And they're playing them later in the week.
Absolutely incredible. I would definitely put that as much watch television. So I like that one. But, yeah, I'm more interested in what's going on with the Final Four.
You know my answer. Christmas arrives on Thursday afternoon in Tampa. Bring it on, baby. That, to me, is... in other words, the answer is you're most excited. A Mirage. I had to reread it. Opening day, Thursday, it's the best, one of my favorite days of the year. And the fact that it's going to be indoors kind of kills the moment. But at the same time, that means it won't rain or snow.
You don't seem extra happy that the season's starting on Thursday. I don't, like, compared to, like, April, you know, like, you know, we're moving it up like a whole week. Are we not,
yeah,
Brady?
The sooner
like
the
a whole
better,
week.
Man. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mirage for me also. I also am looking more forward to opening day. I haven't seen meaningful baseball in 5 months or so. I haven't seen meaningful baseball
years
for my team for 6 months, really seven, because they were out of it by September last year also.
4th of July.
I count down to opening day. I count down to the beginning of the tournament, not Final Four, especially if I don't have my brackets not in it. I don't have a team in college hoops. UVM is done. I love watching the games. I'll watch the Final Four religiously on Saturday, but I'm more excited for opening day on Thursday.
The Final Four is more of a thing you watch if your team's in it. You know, it's you would never, if I said to you, Rich, hey, the Final Four is down in Boston, let you and I go to the game, you would never go unless you had your college in it. If the Super Bowl was in Boston and the Patriots weren't in it, and I said, hey, it's Jacksonville and whoever.
Arizona or
whatever. You would say, okay, I'll go for the experience. You would, you know, if we had tickets or something, you would go for something like that. You don't go to Final Fours or anything like that.
No, I mean, it looks like Boston put on a good show over the weekend for the Elite Eight, but no, it's not. I mean, you know me. College basketball is sort of a second thing. Baseball, man, I can't. Well, hell, I went all the way to Arizona just to watch six baseball games that nobody cared about. So this is, to me, this is absolutely Baseball Thursday is the big deal this week.
I knew I was going to say baseball. I would have thought you were most excited for Lightning Bruins because you have been so excited for this Bruins team for really the last 2 months.
Yeah. No, I understand. And I mean, that win at Dallas Friday night was unbelievable. It got lost because the Celtics come back in Portland and all because it was late at night. They're down 2-0 with, you know, going to the third period, and they win it on a spectacular goal with 11 seconds left, and I can't believe what they've done with that team. I'd put it up there, but it just, I don't know. Maybe it's because we're so late in the season. You know how opening day and hope springs eternal and all your teams are undefeated, and there's just something about opening. And it's the only sport I can think of where opening day means that to a lot of people, including me.
NFL opening day has a huge... It matters because football is back and there's only 16 of them. Baseball opening day is the most ceremoniously. Yeah. And then maybe the biggest day, you know, the biggest days in sports, Super Bowl Sunday, first days of the tournament, and Sunday at the Masters, I think, kind of rank it.
I would agree that the NFL, as far as its bigness, is huge. Yes, just because it's the NFL. But
baseball's ceremonial.
And it's emotional. It's like the hope of summer and, oh, the winter is finally going away. And there's just something emotional about opening day. I may shed a tear Thursday at RJ's.
Question two in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN. The Patriots should cut safety Daron Harmon after his marijuana-related arrest this past weekend in Costa Rica, real or mirage?
No, that's a mirage. I mean, there'll be plenty of other reasons to cut other people from the team than bringing marijuana to Costa Rica. It wasn't even that big of a deal nationally. I don't think anybody was outraged or just disgusted or anything like that. I don't think it was a big thing nationally. So, no, he'll be on the team. He'll be fine.
No, I think it's a mirage, too, but only because it's a guy they need. I mean, if this is the, you know, if this is a guy on special teams who no one's ever heard of, I'd say he'd be out the door in about 5 seconds.
So the question was, should they cut him, though? Should and will are two different things.
Okay, should. I'll say mirage. And you've talked me off the cliff on this one, because earlier when we talked about it, I said, get his butt out of here. But I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah, it's a mirage also. This is a guy, look, I'm no marijuana connoisseur, but from what I know, the amount that he had, 58 grams, it sounds like a lot more than it actually is. It was for personal use. He wasn't selling it. It's a battle that the NFL Players Association is trying to wage in getting at least medical marijuana legalized, so it's something that the NFL players are cognizant of marijuana, you know, and wanting it allowed and, you know, with stipulations to it. It wasn't a big number. And no matter what you think about it, as you alluded to, he's a good player. They've got $12 million invested in his contract. He's a defensive captain. He led their team in interceptions. He had an interception of Nick Foles in the Super Bowl, which goes unnoticed now because they lost that game. Yeah, how good you are dictates how big a distraction you can be. You see it all the time. Good players get away with more things than bad players.
Yeah, not the the sharpest tool in the shed. I mean, really, when you think about it, doing something like that.
I mean,
if you're going to Nebraska or something, maybe take the chance. But if you're going to Costa Rica, maybe not.
It just goes to show you, though, again, the Patriot way means nothing, just the same way that everything means nothing. Odell Beckham Jr. can be a distraction and can last for 4 years and maybe a fifth in New York. And the Patriots bring in low-character guys or guys with checkered pass also. Kenny Britt to Randy Moss to Dante Stallworth, guys that have demons in their closets.
So what's his face who passed out behind the light yesterday?
Yeah, Michael Floyd.
Floyd. I keep forgetting about his name.
Albert Haynesworth. These guys have had issues too, but because they were seen as productive players, they've gotten chances. Daron Harmon is no different. Question three here, Monday Mirage is in the huddle on this Monday. The Celtics could lose in the first round without Kyrie Irving. Real or Mirage?
Oh, you better believe that's real. Especially if they play Milwaukee in the first round with the Greek Freak.
And they might.
And Milwaukee's a good home team. They're just not a good road team. If they play Washington in the first round, very real chance.
With John Wall coming back.
You can lose there also. I'm not worried about Miami. If Miami somehow gets up to number 7. But, if they play Washington, Milwaukee, you better believe that's very real. They could lose in the first round without Kyrie. I say, real on that.
And Washington is a team that absolutely worries me. Once they get John Wall back, that team completely changes. When you've got to deal with Wall and Beal in the first round.
Wow.
And right now, Washington, if the season ended today, the Celtics would play the Bucks, as you said. But it's very tight between Washington, Milwaukee, and Miami. Look, the Celtics are, it's unbelievable what they did in Portland. Another good win last night. Rozier has been on fire. But you take Kyrie out of that mix. So this is a tough one for me, but I would say they could lose. I'll say that's real. But if you're getting Marcus Smart back, if Morris can stay healthy, Jaylen Brown came back last night, I think they might be able to get through one round, but not a second one.
I'll say it's real. I think Milwaukee is a team to fear because they've got arguably one of the most impactful individual players in the playoffs in Giannis Antetokounmpo. They've got Eric Bledsoe, who they acquired earlier this season from Phoenix for the sole purpose of trying to win in the playoffs. Jabari Parker is back, hopefully healthy, but he's scored double figures, I think, in two of the last three games for Milwaukee, and he has played again. And this is a guy who was like a number three pick in the draft a few years ago. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's an X factor if it is, in fact, Milwaukee. So I'll say it is real. Question four in the huddle, Monday Mirages. The Yankees are without Greg Bird 6 to 8 weeks with that surgery on his right ankle. His loss is a big one. Real or Mirage?
Who?
Larry Bird.
Who?
Greg Bird. The Yankees.
Can I get more breadsticks here, please, sir? This guy, didn't play in the better part of, 2016 and 2017,
yep,
right?
Didn't play at all in 2016.
Okay, now I'm supposed to be, they lost him for 2018 also. It's going to affect the team, but what the hell? I mean, I don't even... Really? Am I missing something here that this is going to be affecting the team? No, is his middle name Stanton or something? Maybe I'm missing something here.
No, I'm going with Mirage on this one, too, but only because he just either hasn't proven when he's been healthy that he's a big league ball player, or he hasn't had a chance to prove it because he's constantly hurt. And here we go again with him. I mean, what did he hit, 190 last year? Hit 190 with 9 home runs over 48 games.
He had 3 homers in the playoffs.
He did, and he goes in spurts where he looks like he's all world. But all I needed to see is 190, and the guy just can't stay healthy. I'm going to go Mirage on this.
It's a Mirage that it's a big loss, but it's real that it's a big deal. The impact of this is going to force Neil Walker, your all-everything utility guy, to probably play first base. It's going to get Tyler Austin on the team potentially playing first base, and now we don't know. Brandon Drury's at third base or so. Tyler Wade's at second base. There's all kinds of moving parts now. The Yankees have the depth to overcome this injury, but now that what was seen as depth now has to get filtered out to specific places. Neil Walker playing first base rather than playing first, second, and third. Now Drury and Wade do different things. It's not a big loss because their offense is so good, but it is a big impact. Question five, Monday Mirages. Tuukka Rask, he's the key to the Bruins down the stretch of this season. Real or Mirage?
One of the keys. I'll say
the key.
No,
the
not
question
the,
isn't
no.
one. You're bailing.
No, then that's a Mirage. And he's not the key because first of all, Marchand's been phenomenal.
Unreal. How did that guy do that?
I didn't even see how he put that in. I watched that on replay, the game winner. I go, where the hell did that go in?
Yeah.
I couldn't even figure it out where it went in there.
And the Dallas game with that unbelievable pass to Pasternak for the game winner?
With the injuries, it's everybody else that's picked it up.
Yeah.
That's the key. Sure, Tuukka's so important. Hedman, he's played phenomenal when he's got a chance.
Yes.
It's everybody else stepping up and picking it up. So I can't say that Tuukka's the one key, though. He's been great. He's been awesome.
No, he absolutely has, and I've said all year long that he's going to be the key. I mean, you look back to 2011. What's the one reason the Boston Bruins were carrying the cup around the ice in Vancouver that night? Tim Thomas.
You better
believe
that,
yeah. I mean,
it
was the only reason they won that Stanley Cup. He was an absolute human brick wall for the entire playoffs. And if Tuukka becomes that, this team has an absolute shot. But to answer real or mirage, I'm saying mirage begrudgingly.
I'm saying real because of what you just said, because of the, you know, there's nothing more valuable in hockey than a hot goaltender. And you look at what Marchand's doing, Bergeron is back, Donato was playing well, McAvoy we hope will be back and be back healthy. I think their offense can have some things. I can trust their offense. Goalie-wise, they need Rask to step up. Before this weekend, Rask, remember, he wasn't playing all that well. The team still won. They were 7-2-1 in the 10 games prior to this weekend that he played. But he'd allowed four more goals in six of his last 10 leading into this weekend. So he had struggled. If he gets right and they're winning, you know, in because of him rather than in spite of him in some cases, then, oh, my goodness, look out.
I would say Tuukka is the second most important key for the Bruins down the stretch, the first being just get healthy. I mean, you know, they're talking about Bergeron coming back, and McQuaid got hurt over the weekend. It's just, Torrey Krug got hurt again. I mean, it's just these are key guys. This team has got to figure out a way to get healthy, especially McAvoy, when the playoffs come around, which is, what, week and a half from now?
Arnie, you're going to be happy to know this. Markelle Fultz, your favorite player, he's going to play tonight for the Sixers.
Wow. That caught me by surprise because wasn't it about 3 weeks ago the guy couldn't even raise his arm to answer a question in math class or something? He had like something wrong with his – I think he had a pinched nerve in his neck that's been lingering. I think that's the problem. I'm not a doctor, but I'm telling you it's got something to do with that.
Yeah. Boy, you keep saying trust the process. It's funny listening to Stephen A., the Philadelphia guy, talking about the process, just ripping it to shreds and saying what a joke it is. That may have been another one of the 76ers' mistakes. We'll see.
You know, Rich, somebody's going to take you to task. You said baseball, the best opening day.
Absolutely.
Alex and Monkton said NASCAR's opening day is Daytona 500.
That's true. They have
biggest race of the year.
They
like
opened
the Super Bowl.
I'll give you that. Yeah. I mean, they opened the NASCAR season basically with their Super Bowl.
That's crazy. I don't understand the whole
that is
why
crazy.
They're doing that. And I never understood why they went that way and how it, you know, why they put the best.
It's like
event
playing
there
the season backwards. Let's start with a Super Bowl and work our way from there.
Unbelievable. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Daily spring training update. What do we think of Chris Sale getting hit, and what move did the Sox make over the weekend?
All right, that's coming up next right here on 101.3.
The Red Sox and Yankees have World Series dreams, but before they can head north, they're working on the backfields in the Florida heat. This is your daily spring training update on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, show just flying by on a Monday. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Let's get right out of time for the spring training update. Update. Spring training update.
How many engineers over the years have you had walk out on you in the middle of a show?
I almost got into a fist fight with a guy. I told you about that.
Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. Could Arnie run the buttons and control everything if I just walked out?
Oh, I could.
No, you could.
Not successfully, but I think I could.
How about if you don't?
Just put all the buttons.
Well,
what does this one do?
802-655-6672. What would Arnie do if I wasn't here to press all the buttons?
I'd make Rich press the buttons.
Yeah.
And then I would take the day off if I'm the only one here.
I'd do enough of that in the morning.
Yeah.
All right, daily spring training update. Chris Sale, he appears to have skirted possible disaster on Saturday, hitting the hit by line drive. It's basically a deep bone bruise. He should start and be okay on opening day, but what was going through your mind when you
saw
that?
Well, when he was limping off, I first thought that maybe somebody took out a gun and shot him. Because I'm like, that can't be from the little ball that came right back up the middle.
Oh, stop.
I mean, he acted like his hip had been shattered.
His line shot right off of him.
In 100 feet, I'm down, help, I'm down. I'm like, geez, buddy, get off. If that was a regular season game, I'd expect him to keep on pitching. It wasn't that much of a line drive right back. It wasn't like one of those, you know, zingers right back up or clocks him in the head or anything like that.
No, I mean, it was only 120-mile-an-hour line drive off his hip. What could that ever do?
I thought it wasn't as bad as people made it out to
be. Well, first of all, how do you hit Chris Sale with a baseball? I mean, the guy is 6'6", 190.
Yeah.
So he turns sideways to try to get out of the way. How do you hit him? My first thought, we were all in the gym, and I've never seen everybody just stop doing what they were doing and stare at the television for about 10 minutes. That the biggest thing to me was the way he went down. He went down pretty hard, and then he clutched at his, I think it was his left knee, and that's when I went into panic mode.
My first thought was just that this is happening a lot this spring, where guys are getting hit by line drives. We you know, Arnie laughed about, callously, laughed about Felix Hernandez getting hit on the arm this year. We're seeing far too much of this, pitchers getting hit, and I don't know if there's an answer. I am a fan of, I don't care how ridiculous it looks, I'm a fan of pitchers moving to the hat with the protective headgear right. on it, because as a guy who's been hit before and as a guy who has had line drives come back at my body, I've been hit in the foot, I've been hit in the leg, I've been hit in the arm, I've been hit in the hand, I had one come at my head that I actually caught. It is a very terrifying thing, and I'm talking about me throwing 78 miles an hour and the ball coming back at 90, not throwing 95 and coming back at 110. I'm in favor of protecting the pitcher. I don't need an L screen out there, but I at least want to see pitchers move to that half.
No, I was wondering as a pitcher if that affected you in your next start against. I mean, I know as a hitter, when a kid would hit me with a fastball, I was paying attention next time I'd face him. Trust me. You don't forget it. I mean, it's ended careers, too. I'm a guy named Paul Blair. I couldn't play Tony C.
Yeah, I never got nervous to the point where I was afraid to get back on the mound. That never worried me. And getting hit, it didn't bother me either as long as it was. I mean, if I had gotten hit in the chest straight on or if I got hit in the head, I think that would have been a different story. It's different when you get hit. I was hit in the foot. That was a terrible pain, getting hit in the side of your arch of your foot. That was horrible. But you know, you were okay. Getting hit in the wrist was no fun. I've been hit in the back and you end up with a nice battle scar out of it, but that's it. The one I was pitching against Cortland State. If you're listening and you're in Plattsburgh, you're gonna know Cortland because Plattsburgh plays Cortland. They were the number one team in the country a lot, and they were number one in the country a lot of the years that I was at Oswego. And they got a lot of D1 transfers. They had a shortstop who transferred from Stony Brook. It was 30 degrees and snowing out. And I was pitching. I pitched very well against them. But this kid hit one directly back at my face, and I caught it. And it was terrifying. And you know what my coach says to me coming off the field? He's got this thick Southern accent. And he goes, Farkas should have charged it.
I love it. So. Hey, by the way, you're getting a lot of text, too, to your question. Derek in Middlebury says, Arnie's sausage fingers might not work on the buttons. First time Texas said, is there just one button? No, I think there's like two. Vince said, since Arnie is the boss, he can delegate.
Right.
Zach in Bristol said, lots of dead air. Arnie is good at what he's good at.
But running the board isn't it.
No, running the board. What does Chris the Med fan say? I can't see.
He says, hey, Arnie, is Brady working from 6 to 7 tonight? Just wondering if I should stay tuned. And you would crap your pants regarding the buttons.
I may, but I would just push all of them to see which one works.
You'd have 15 different sound effects all going at once.
And yes, I am working 6 to 7.
Yes, Chris. He is. I'm making him stay today, 6 to 7.
So anyway, but the Chris Sale thing was just, it's like, are you kidding me? With all, and everybody in the gym was saying the same thing. It's like with all the Celtics injuries, with all the Bruins injuries already, the ace is gone. I mean, everybody just assumes the worst when you see a situation
and
like that.
And Pomeranz, right, yep. And Rodriguez E-Rod's are all going to start the year on the DL, too. Real quick, also, the Red Sox traded Devin Marrero. They had a log jam at utility positions. They alleviate that concern by sending Marrero to the Diamondbacks, basically for cash considerations or a player to be named later.
It was either him or Holt, and they knew it. One is going to go. Holt's got a little bit more, well, a lot more of a track record. I think he plays more positions. He hits at least a little bit. Marrero just can't hit. I mean, he never hit in the minors. He hit .208, I think, as in his career in 258 plate appearances with the Red Sox. Just couldn't hit.
Struck out more than 30% of his at-bats. And for a guy who 30% when you're Aaron Judge, you can maybe live with. 30% right. When you're Devin Marrero, you can't live with that.
By the way, Greg Bird, you know, will have, be what, 6 to 8 weeks?
Yep.
Have surgery.
We talked about that twice already. Yeah, did you pay attention to the rest of the show?
I did.
I just heard the word baseball. He went to sleep.
No, I just didn't know if you know about the bone spur that they had to remove on that, because I didn't know he was going to be out that long. Yeah. I thought it was going to be a lot quicker than that. But like I said, no big deal. When you haven't played in 2 years, it's not that big of a deal that you're going to miss a guy like this. I just assume they'd miss another year with this guy.
So what did they get for Marrero? A bag of balls? Pretty much. Or they just let him go.
As I just said to Arnie, did you not listen to the show? I just told you. Cash considerations or a player to be named later.
Cash considerations. That's always big. The cash considerations. Always big.
I'm considering cash all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys not listen to me?
We didn't know about the bone spurs. Did you mention that? I didn't hear that.
Said right ankle.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, you messed it up at the top of the hour.
Yeah, and then I came back instantly and said it's right ankle.
Yeah, I don't know, Rich.
We can't listen
I don't
to
know, Rich.
He
yeah,
says. It's
you,
hard for us old
you
farts
screwed
to
it
comprehend
up.
This
you
stuff.
You screwed it up. That's why when I saw that, I said I better go ahead and get that in. All right, well, last story standing coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow, it's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good last story standing. I saw this one. This is, I don't know, is it a feel-good story? I'm not so sure. Brady told me.
I don't know if
standing.
It's a feel-good story either.
I would.
I think long-term it is, for at least for this guy it is.
I'm not so
sure. So there was
about
a
that.
Guy who named Nevist Coleman. I hope I'm saying that right. Nevist Coleman, who was a groundskeeper with the Chicago White Sox in 1994. He was in his 20s. And then he was convicted of rape and murder. Oof. Nearly sentenced to death, spent the last 23 years in prison, and now was found innocent of that crime because of new evidence, and now the White Sox have rehired him as a groundskeeper.
Nice.
So, falsely accused, falsely convicted, now he gets to start his life over 23 years later, and he's back with the organization that let him start.
They should give him back pay. No, I'm serious. I'm not kidding around about that. I'm serious about that.
But you wonder what that must be like to sit in a jail cell for 20 years knowing you didn't do it. I mean, imagine the mental struggles that go on
with
a situation like that.
Horrible.
Unbelievable.
Knowing you didn't do it.
It's an unbelievable story.
That is great.
You know, I'm happy, too, for him that he's in a position where he's very much out of the limelight. When you go to the game, you never have any idea who the people on the field are ever. Whereas a lot of people, you know, people who are spent 23 years in prison, they have a stigma about them, whether they were innocent or not. It's very hard for them to reacclimate into society. At least he's going to a place where he's not going to be the focus of anything.
Rich, remember when we were kids, maybe Brady saw this baseball movie where there was a guy who was in jail. I don't want to give it away. And he comes out of jail, makes a Major League Baseball team, and becomes a superstar. And I don't think he was falsely in prison. I think he did something wrong, and he was in prison, and he got out.
I don't know what that is.
The Ron LaFleur story. Remember him?
The Tigers.
The Tigers. Yeah. He was. Did you not know he was in prison?
Oh, absolutely. I knew he was. Yeah.
Brady, did you ever see the Ron LaFleur story?
No.
He was in prison, and the Tigers signed him out of prison.
That's right.
And he played for the Tigers.
We got a caller there that said, and I mean, I don't know that this is true, but it feels like it might be true, that if you are wrongly convicted like that, the state has to pay you back. So you're going to get, you would get money. You made the joke about giving back pay.
Well, what do they get, like minimum wage? I don't know.
I don't know, but you'd think a lawsuit might be pending for such a
thing. Might get some money. He might get some money back.
It is capped out, I think. Something like that. It's like the airlines. It's capped out at how much you
I mean,
make
what's
out
the
there.
Price tag of losing 23 years
Nothing.
Of your life?
Nothing. There's no price. You can't pay me enough to lose 23 years of my life. All right, to wrap it up. Brady, what's coming up at Champaign Valley game night tonight?
21 states have compensation laws in the book. You could get up to $15,000 for Louisiana, for example, gives $15,000 per year of incarceration.
Yeah, good luck on that. Wow. Yeah, good luck
on
that.
So you get 23 times $15,000. Guys, we're at Champaign Valley Game Night. We'll talk Odell Beckham Jr. We'll talk Mookie Betts and more.
All right. All that's coming up for Brady and for Rich.
And Marty. Intern Nathan.
And intern Nathan. I forgot about him. Champaign Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.